Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this worship service. Welcome to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. We are very, very happy to have you here and are excited to be able to have this beautiful Lord's Day to come together and worship like we're doing right now. At this congregation, we really place a premium on worshiping God in the way that He has told us that He wants. The Bible is an incredible book. I was doing some thinking about an old mentor preacher friend of mine. He's getting up in age. He's been older for as long as I've known him, and now he's kind of out of the older camp and just kind of in the quite old camp. I love him. I love him so much, and I wish that I could give him some of my years, you know, because he would put them to better use, I'm sure. He told me one time, you know, this was at a preacher's meeting where we were talking shop, I suppose, and he said, 8 to 10 chapters of the New Testament a day, 8 to 10 chapters will get you to the point where you read the New Testament in a month. 8 to 10 chapters of New Testament reading will complete the New Testament for you in a month. And he says, I do that every month. And he did. he is a knowledgeable Bible student for sure. I make it a goal to do that 4 times a year. 4 months out of the year, I will read the New Testament in that fashion. And the remaining 8 months, I'll read it at a slower, more Bible study pace. You know, there's a twinge of difference between reading for volume and reading for study and connection, that sort of thing. So 4 months out of the year, I think about my friend who told me that reading program for the New Testament. And I set a goal for myself to read the New Testament 6 times a year. And the Old Testament is roughly 3 times longer than the New Testament, so I try to read that 3 times a year. And you can with a minimal investment. It doesn't take a ton of time. My wife had this baby, you know, and so I got behind on some of my TV shows, man. And I thought, well, you know, I need X number of hours to get caught up on my TV shows. And then I was thinking, you know what? I could probably just walk away from those TV shows and not be under the gun to find, you know, 6 hours or 8 hours to get caught up on my shows. And I could probably do something lots better with that time. And it dawns on me quite regularly that we can read the Bible. It's easy. It's so easy to do. I frequently, when I read off my phone here, which has made it incredibly easy. This is stating the obvious, you know, but God gave us a book with the expectation that we would read it. There's no other reason to give people a book than to have the expectation that it's going to be read. And I think that many members of the church are badly falling down on the job of just reading, giving attention to reading. So maybe you want to try that thing out. Again, it's, you know, 8 to 10 chapters. We got a new month coming up here pretty soon. 8 to 10 chapters a day, which you can. I'm a slow reader, and I do that easily in 25-ish minutes, you know. And then when you sit down and study and make connections and make notes and things like that, it gets a little more involved at that point, but we'll let that come a little later. You could easily read that. Maybe you want to give it a shot. When I do that, I think about my friend, my old mentor preacher friend, and I also think about how beautiful the Scripture sounds. Just the ring of truth, the ring of beauty in Scripture. And of course, you know, doing that, you read the same things over and over and over and over and over again. That's kind of the point. And there are some passages that just never get old. I say that with respect to the entire Bible. There are some passages that I find myself looking forward to getting to and reading and really thinking about the way that I've shared them and used them in other points of ministry. One of those passages, it's a long roundabout way to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, where you'll find one of those passages that I read frequently and never get tired of and always find myself looking forward to. Luke chapter 8 is where Jesus, the master teacher here, is talking to his followers about, well, he's talking about people, really. It doesn't appear that way at first, but Jesus is speaking in the form of a parable here. And Jesus is explaining to his followers that there is the seed that they need to go and plant, and then there are the soils that seed needs to be planted in. And we break this parable down in really two major points. There are two hot topics of discussion, I think, that Jesus is shining a light on. Number one is the seed. Number two would be the soil. So let's look at that first one first. Jesus talks to us about the seed here. And in the parable, this is the constant. This is the thing that's always going to be the same. And this morning's scripture reading revealed to us that the seed is God's word. The parable is this. Here's the heart of the matter, the main thing that Jesus is stressing here. The seed is God's word. And that seed needs to be planted in all kinds of soil. And we see as the parable unfolds that there are a variety of types of soil. That's the second point in this morning's study, so we'll save some of that for then. But the point here is that this seed reacts to the soils in the same way, in the way that a seed does. It tries to grow. It wants to be planted. This seed needs to be planted in all of these types of soil. There's never a soil in the parable that is presented that Jesus says, now the seed won't work here. You don't want to plant the seed here. That's never what Jesus says here. Jesus says that this seed needs to be planted in all of the soil types. It's not going to change, right? Frequently, there are people who talk about the need to change, the need to adapt. Well, there are some things that need to change. There are some adaptations that can be made, should be made. Can I address the camera in the room here? We got this camera, had it for a little while now. And right now, as I'm preaching, if I look a little heavier to you, it's because the camera adds pounds. Now, I want to say that first, because I saw that video that they took of Bible class, and I was thinking, oh, man, now, y'all look at this all the time. I'll work on a few things. But right now, I'm preaching, and this service is being streamed on our Facebook page, which you know we're quite proud of. We're active in Facebook. And we have a few hundred people who like and follow our page. And I reckon all of them have big old houses, so right now I think I'm probably preaching to like a million folks, maybe, through Facebook. That's incredible. It is really, really impressive to think about. And with just a few pushes of buttons, I don't do that sort of thing, so I'm assuming that it's a few pushes of buttons. It's probably a little bit more involved than that. We have a dedicated tech team that helps in these areas to get us where we need to be online, and I appreciate them, and it's because of those efforts and some of these adaptations that we're willing to make that we're now reaching folks electronically, online. It's incredible. Those are the kind of things we can change, of course. You know, we have PowerPoints or keynotes and big screens and nice projectors and buildings that help make it possible for us to get together as often as we like. These are the things that we can change, but the seed has to stay the same. We can't tamper with the seed. It's the other stuff that we can change and experiment with and modify and utilize. But the message, the seed, has to stay the same. And in this ageless parable that Jesus speaks here, he's talking about a seed that's just a regular seed that does what it does. You know what these seeds do from way, way back in our Bibles. Genesis chapter 1, the Bible lets us know that God made all of the things that we see with our eyes, and God made these with the ability to reproduce. They produce after their own kind, the Bible says. Genesis chapter 1, verses 12, 21, 24, 25, all throughout that opening chapter of the Bible, we find that these things that God have made, they're made to grow and produce and reproduce and make the same things that they are. Well, the seed is God's Word. And God's Word wants to be planted. It's a seed. It wants to be planted. It needs to be planted in all types of soil. The seed never says, nah, I don't want to grow there. No, the seed wants to grow there because it's a seed. And that's what seeds do. They grow. They produce after their own kind. So the Bible wants to be planted. It needs to be planted. And when it is planted, it will do its thing. It is an incredibly powerful tool as we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It is God's power unto salvation. The Bible can cut through so many obstacles. We noticed it not too long ago when talking about Noah and his family. Noah was a good person, not perfect, but he was a good person in a very, very, very bad world. And we can be that way too, if we just have the resolve, if we just dare to grow and allow our faith to produce. When Jesus was here talking to his followers, that was a major theme of his discussion: growing, bearing fruit. Perhaps if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that terminology is a little bit more familiar. Bearing fruit, not being fruitless, not being barren, but producing and growing and thriving in the Lord. Well, that all starts with this seed that's planted. And as we mentioned, we can't modify that seed or change it. The Bible, the words of the Bible, can't be changed or modified or added to. We talk a whole lot about John chapter 12, verse 48. I love that verse, and I love thinking about it with folks. And it's one of those verses, those passages that I look forward to get to in my reading of the New Testament. It's where Jesus says, "He who rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him." Jesus is a realist. He understands not everyone's accepting this. I get that. So you don't have to. You're not going to be forced to accept the seed. You're not going to be forced to accept the words of Jesus. You can reject those words, but there are consequences. If you reject these words, these same words will judge you. Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." There are a lot of people that we talk to on a number of occasions, right? Who want to change up God's word, or they tell us that certain parts of God's word are outdated now. The reason why things are different now is because the times have changed and we have evolved, and now this is allowed, and that's permissible, and it's okay for us to do things this way, the way that they want to do them, because, well, the Bible is such an old book. It is, admittedly, a very, very old book, but that means it's time-tested, right? Old is not bad. It's time-tested. It has withstood and endured. And it doesn't matter how old the seed is. It can be planted, and it can grow just like it did whenever it was first made. So the Bible is an old book. You bet. Of course it is. But let me tell you this additional thing about the Bible. It's an enduring book. And it's old now, and when Jesus comes again, it will be old then, but it will be the same book that judges us. Jesus' own words make that perfectly clear. If we reject it, well, then we're going to be judged by it. If we accept it, guess what? We're going to be judged by it. We will be judged by the same word that Jesus has spoken. So all of the efforts and all of the attempts to change God's word, they're not going to do any good. It's impossible to really change God's word. It is more powerful than we are. We can't change God's word. And even if we could, you just think for a second. We can change God's word. Let's pretend. We have the ability to change God's word. That's not going to help anybody, because we are not going to be judged by our edits of God's word. We're going to be judged by God's word itself. The same scripture that Jesus gave us is what we're going to be judged by. That leads us really right into the second part of the parable here, where Jesus talks to us about the soils next. The seed is God's word. It is unchanging. It is unchangeable. And it has to be planted. It needs to be planted so that it can do its thing, so that it can grow and produce. And Jesus talks about a farmer who goes out to sow a seed. As he sows the seed, some fell by the wayside. This describes a particular kind of soil that is not the ideal place for seed to be sown. Can the seed grow there? Why, sure, the seed can grow anywhere. But here on this wayside soil, it wasn't tended. It wasn't really planned to be put there. And so it's trampled down. It's not staked off and guarded. Birds come and devour it. It's just lying there on top of the soil. It doesn't have a lot of attention and care being given to it. And so the conditions are hostile. Is it possible for the seed to grow? You know it is. You've seen it with your own two eyes. That plants grow where you didn't intend to put any plants there or any seed there. That sort of thing happens routinely. But it is rather the exception. It's not the way things were intended to be. Right now, I'm aware of the fact that I'm preaching to you this morning. I plan to preach to you all week long. And then now, we push a button, plug in a camera, and I'm preaching to people that I didn't expect to be able to reach this morning with these messages. And maybe some will listen for a few minutes and navigate away. Maybe some will listen longer. Maybe some will review these recordings that we're making at a later time. Maybe on purpose, maybe accidental. Who knows how it will happen? The seed is still powerful in those cases. But we understand in different instances, the challenges may be more or less. Right here is an easy environment for us to tune into God's word. I believe here we are in a nice building with comfortable seats, and we can tune into God's word now the easiest. So I want to encourage us to take advantage of this situation. I mean, this is as easy as it gets to be a consumer of God's word. There might be some at home, maybe with sick little ones or feeling badly themselves, or maybe just at home because they want to be at home, and they're finding this message, and they're listening in a less than ideal situation. That word is still powerful there. We just understand that there are different obstacles, there are different challenges to each. So Jesus describes this wayside soil. It's the one that not a lot of attention is taken. It's not protected. It's not really ideal for the growth of this seed. Can it happen? Yes. Does it frequently fail? Yes. And then Jesus talks more about some of this seed falls among the rocks. Well, again, a commonality among three of these soils is that they weren't tended. They're not good. The seed can grow there, sure, but it won't thrive or flourish there. So here is the soil that is shallow on top of some rocks, and the seed springs up, the seed grows, but it's not in its happiest home there. And the roots quickly reach their bottom, and it's not a very deep bottom, it's shallow. And so these plants here that are growing from the seed, they have a hard time. There's not good soil in which to thrive. They can still grow, but the outcome is not going to be most desirable. These roots will butt up against the rocks, and they can't get any deeper, and the thin soil doesn't hold as much moisture as we would hope, so the struggle is hard. Oftentimes, by no means always, but oftentimes, this doesn't work out either. So the plants don't flourish here. Jesus talks next about the seed that fell among the thorns. Well, things can grow here. The thorns are growing here just fine, and the seed grows among the thorns, but the plants that grow from those seeds quickly get choked out, because the area hasn't been cleared, and there's too much competition. There are too many other things going on, and so the seed, which here is God's Word, gets choked out. And then finally, Jesus talks about the good seed that produces the good soil, rather, that produces this seed. And it grows and it flourishes and it is ideal. The followers of Jesus, they sought an explanation. Jesus explains this parable here, and the beginning of the explanation is that the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. So it's not a farming exercise that Jesus is describing, but an evangelistic one, where we are taking God's Word into these different places, and we are met with these reactions. These soils aren't really dirt, but these soils are hearts that we encounter. Some of those don't care. They hear God's Word incidentally. Maybe you're reading your Bible at work, and somebody looks over your shoulder and sees you reading your Bible, and a micro conversation is started up. And nothing really gets made of that, because that's incidental contact. That is a wayside encounter. And then maybe others look for God's Word. They quickly receive God's Word, but there's not enough depth there. And what springs up quickly also goes away quickly, because the roots don't find a deep home in our hearts. I think in my preaching, I've seen the most of this kind, maybe, and the next, the thorny soil. But I've seen a lot of people who accept God's Word very quickly. They hear a couple of sermons. They sit for a few Bible studies, and they accept it, and then they're all in, you know. They really give it their all. But at the first or second or third test of that faith, it wilts, because that faith hasn't really been established. That faith hasn't really found a deep root. And then Jesus talks next about the thorny soil or the competitive soil. Now here's dirt that things can grow in, a heart that is able to receive God's word, but you know, that same heart is also able to receive a whole bunch of other things, and it does. And so God's word has to exist in the chaos of somebody's overextended life. I've got this going on and that going on, and we've got three practices to go to and a dinner to make, and that's all on one night, you know? You know the way it is. And in those kind of environments, it's easy for God's word to just get choked out. And rather than read our Bibles like we know we should, and attend church services like we know we should, and talk to our friends at school or our coworkers at work about the Bible like we know we should, rather than do any of those things we know we should, we're just keeping all the plates spinning, you know? Those people who have these poles and they're spinning plates on them, and we don't want anything to fall down, and sometimes our life is like that. And when our life is like that, it is really, really, really hard for God's word to take over. I'm reminded of Moses in the Old Testament as the nation of Israel is just a budding nation. Moses wants to be hands-on, and he was hands-on. He wants to have his hand in everything. And his father-in-law explains to Moses, "You are doing too much. You're doing too much." We need people in our lives every now and then to say, "You know what? You're doing too much." A lot of people's goals is to get more accomplished. And that's, I suppose that's commendable. That's the way the world works, I guess. But, you know, if we focus on less, we'll find that we can do it better, right? And we're not just being mediocre in everything that we do. And we're not giving our leftovers, our worn-out leftovers to the Lord. But if we focus on fewer things, we can do those better and be more exceptional in that area. And that brings us to the good soil. All the soil wasn't made good this way. Now, there was just a relatively small plot that was prepped to receive this seed. And when it received that seed, it grew and grew and grew into the plant that God intended for it to grow. The seed is God's word. These soils are your heart. Which one of these four are you? We're working hard every day to be this good soil, this fertile ground, where God's word can live in and rest in our lives and make us the kind of Christians that God wants us to be. How about you this morning? Are you one of those Christians that God wants you to be? Serving Him faithfully, doing your very best, making changes when you need to make changes so that we can do more for the Lord? Or not? This morning, if you need to make changes to your life in any way, we invite you to consider that. If you need to be baptized today for the forgiveness of your sins, to begin this Christian journey, we hope that you'll let us help you with that. It would be our pleasure to do so. If you need to respond to this invitation, we ask you to come now while we stand and while we sing.